Although there are remaining another three parokim, three chapters of this Masechta, it's only really another Mishnah and a half that continue to talk about the regular laws and rules of the transfer of impurity that comes from a dead body via an oihel, and the different definitions of an oihel and how they can combine with each other. Whereas the rest of the Masechta is really set aside for very specific rabbinic decrees that were made in order to avoid people from becoming tomei from a dead body. The truth is, even the next Mishnah and a half are really based on a rabbinic decree, although this does still revolve around the transfer of the impurity via Tumas Oihel. Now, as we have seen, there are really two major forms of Tumas Oihel. The first is if a item or a person or an object is situated directly above or directly below a piece of a dead body. In that case, the person, the item, would become tomei, and this is regardless of the size of that item. The second form of tumas oihel is when a external oihel, a roof, is formed above a dead body and another item. In that case, since both of those are underneath the same roof, the same oihel, the tuma would, so to speak, fill up that entire room, the entire area underneath the roof, and any item which is there would become tomei. And with regards to this form of Tumas Oihel being transferred, the Oihel must be more significant. It needs to be at least a Tefach by a Tefach. That having been said, Midrabbonon, Kol HaMitaltel Mevin HaSatuma Ba'Ovi HaMardeya, any movable items that form an Oihel spread the impurity from the dead body that is underneath that Oihel to any other item that's underneath the same Oihel, as long as the Oihel, the roof, the movable item, is at least the thickness of a goad. A goad is a stick that was used to prod animals in order to urge them to go quicker or to keep on moving. And this stick had a circumference of a tefach. The perimeter around the stick was a tefach, which means that the width of the stick was roughly a third of that, which means that it's not a tefach by a tefach. Nevertheless, the Chachomim were concerned that if a stick that has a circumference of a tefach will not be sufficient to transfer the impurity to all of the items underneath it, then people will be led to think that even if it has a thickness, that it's a tefach by a tefach, that even then it wouldn't spread the impurity to the items underneath it. And because of that, Midrabbonon, if it has even a circumference of a tefach, although its width is only a third of that, it would be sufficiently large enough to spread the impurity to any item underneath it. On Rabbi Tarfin said, Akapeach es bonai, which literally means I will chop up my children. This is an expression of an oath, Shezoi halocha mukupachas, because this is a law that is chopped up and is inaccurate. Sheshoma hashemea v'to'o, because the person who heard this law from earlier chachomim of a previous generation, he misunderstood it. Sheho ikor oiver, because the case that was under discussion was a farmer who was passing the hamardeal kasefei, and there was a goad, this stick, on his shoulder. The he'ehil tzidoi echad ala kever, and one end of the stick formed a roof on top of a grave. It was directly above a grave. V'tim'uhu, and the Chachom said that the person carrying this stick is considered to be tomei. Now the person himself was not situated on top of the grave at all. So the person who heard this law understood incorrectly that the reason why the person who was carrying the stick is considered to be tomei is because the stick is over his shoulder, which means that it's above the person, and the other end of the stick is above the dead body. So the stick is forming an oihel on top of the dead body and the person, and that's why the person becomes tomei. And the stick is less than a tefach by a tefach. Its width is only a third of a tefach. So the person who heard this law understood that Midrabbonon, since its circumference is a tefach, it is considered to be an oihel to transfer its impurity to anything else that is underneath that oihel. However, in truth, the reason why the person was tomei is Mishum Kelim Hamahin on Ais. Because of the regular rule that a object that is directly above a dead body becomes tomei regardless of its size. And since the person is touching the object that became tomei from a dead body, the person also becomes tomei. The object is on the same level of impurity as the dead body itself, and a person who touches the object becomes tomei for 7 days, just like if he had touched the dead body itself. But this is only because he touched the item that is directly above the dead body. So there's no need for a minimum size at all. Now, it does come out a little bit strange that the Chachomim talked about this particular case, and the Chachomim emerged with a rule that is specific to something that at least has a circumference of a tefach, According to the way that Rabbi Tarfon described the case, the size of the item is totally irrelevant. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva said, "Ani asaken shiudibri chachom kayomin." I will fix and explain the case and that which the Chacham said, in order that that which the opinion at the beginning of the Mishnah stated will indeed be valid. Because indeed there is a rabbinic decree that was said about something that has a circumference of a tefach. Not exactly like the first opinion of the Mishnah said, that anything that has the circumference of a tefach is now considered to be an oihel, because we're concerned that people will confuse it with something that is at least a tefach wide. But rather, in a very specific case, similar to that which they talked about, the farmer was carrying a stick on his shoulder, but we're talking about a case where the farmer didn't touch the stick, which means that the stick only touched his clothes, which he was wearing, and he is touching his clothes. Now, because, according to the strict letter of the law, the stick is not an oihel, so the stick is tomei just because of the fact that it's directly above the dead body. Now, the person's clothes touch that object, so the person's clothes become an av hatumah, and he'll be tomei for 7 days. That's a primary severe level of impurity, and the person himself who touched his clothes that he is wearing, he becomes tomei on the level of a rishon letumah, which is a much less severe form of impurity. He'll only be impure for the rest of that day. In order to become purified, he only needs to go to the mikveh. Now, in this case, even according to the strict letter of the law, the person does become tomei. Now, according to the truth, why is this person tomei? Because he touched the clothes that touched the stick that became tomei due to being directly above the dead body. But people will make the same mistake that was mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah. But why is this person tomei? Because the stick formed an oihel on top of the dead body and on top of him. And that's how the impurity was transferred to the person. Which means that if we say that the person is only on the level of a rishon letumah, and that only lasts until the end of that day, people will come to the mistaken conclusion that every form of tumas oihel only makes the person on the level of a rishon letumah. Even if they're under the same roof in the same house as a dead body, they'll mistakenly conclude from this case that they'll only be on the level of a rishon letumah. And because of that, midrabbanon, in this case the person would indeed be an av hatumah, who will be tomei for 7 days, because people think that the reason why he is impure is because he was underneath the same oihel as the dead body. In a regular case where the person, according to the strict letter of the law, doesn't become tomei at all, so then even midrabbanon, he does not become tomei, because people are not going to come to any mistaken conclusion with regards to the level of impurity that one receives from being underneath the same roof as a dead body, because they see that in this case he's not tomei at all. Only in a case where he becomes tomei, but on a lower level, is there a concern that people will conclude that any time that he's underneath the same roof as a dead body, he'll only be on the level of a rishon letumah. Concludes the Mishnah, Val atzman b'chol shehein, the movable items themselves become tomei regardless of their size, even if they are less than a circumference of a tefach. Al sha'ar odon the kelim, and in order to make any other person or object who is not touching the stick, and therefore, according to the strict letter of the law, wouldn't become tomei at all, so then only if b'fisar tefach, if it's at least a tefach by a tefach, would it transfer the impurity to anyone who is underneath the stick, and that is indeed according to the strict letter of the law, midarais, or the impurity would be transferred that way, because that's a fully-fledged oihel. Mishnah Beis, Ketzad, how so? What is an example of something that becomes tomei regardless of its size, because it's directly above or below a dead body? Now, obviously, we don't need to paint a particular scenario for that. It's obvious. Anything which is directly above or below a dead body becomes tomei regardless of its size. But the Mishnah is going to add a less obvious case. Kushu tochu bakoisel, a tool that consists of a needle with a curved end and is used for spinning thread. It's coming out of a wall. It's stuck into the side of a wall, and kachatzi zayis mitachtov, kachatzi zayis me'algabov, there is a piece of a dead body underneath it and above it, and both of those pieces by themselves are only the size of half an olive. But together they combine to make up the minimum size to transfer impurity via Tumas Oyel. And at least according to the majority opinion in the third perek that we learnt earlier on in the Masechta, two different pieces of a dead body can combine to transfer impurity in similar ways. Even if the two pieces of the dead body are not directly in line with each other, as long as they are both directly in line with a part of that needle that is stuck into the wall, they would combine and tomei, that needle would become tomei, even though the needle is less than a tefach by a tefach. Nimtzo, it emerges that Mevias Atum Atzo Mechol Shehu, it becomes Tomei itself, regardless of its size. Now the Mishnah elaborates on a case where there is a oihel on top of both a dead body and another item, and only because the oihel is at least a tefach by a tefach would the impurity be transferred. Hakador shehu oiver v'asal ksefoi, a person who is selling pottery and he's walking, he's passing by, and he has his stick on which he holds his various pieces of pottery at the end of the stick, and this stick is being carried over his shoulder. And the front of the stick extends in front of him, and the back of the stick with the pottery, the end of it, is behind him. And one end of the stick, the end which does not have any pottery being held by it, the part which is in front of him, is directly above a grave. The items, the pieces of pottery that are on the other side of the stick, even though they are partly underneath the same oihel that is formed by the stick, they would remain pure, because the oihel is less than a tefach by a tefach. Now one could ask, surely the pots should become tomei by the mere fact that they are touching the stick, and the stick is directly above the dead body. The answer is that since the pottery is made out of earthenware, clay, it therefore is not able to become tomei from its outside, only from its inside. And since only the outside of the pieces of pottery are touching the stick, they therefore do not become tomei. If the stick is at least a tefach wide, then tomeim, the items on the other side, would become tomei, because the stick is considered to be a fully fledged oihel to spread the impurity to any other item that is situated underneath that same oihel. And this really brings us to the end of the main discussion, the main focus of the Masechta. Like we mentioned, the remaining part of the Masechta talks about rabbinic stringencies and decrees that were made in order to avoid impurity that comes from a dead body. When a woman would miscarry, she would usually bury her dead fetus in a mound of earth. And pretty often she would be embarrassed to go to a cemetery and people would see what occurred and to bury the fetus in a cemetery. Rather, she would find a mound of earth near to the city and bury the fetus in that mound of earth. Which means that there is a concern that any mound of earth that is found near the city possibly contains a dead fetus inside of it, and therefore we need to be concerned for the impurity that is transferred by that dead fetus. The Mishnah is also going to talk about a mound of earth that was found relatively near to a cemetery, even if it's far away from the city, and therefore there's no concern that a woman would bury her fetus over there. There is a concern that people were traveling towards a cemetery very close to the beginning of Shabbos, and they realized that they wouldn't have enough time to reach the cemetery and bury the dead person who needs to be buried in time. And therefore, they bury the dead body, not in the cemetery, but in a mound of earth that is pretty near to the cemetery. And because of this concern that occurred, any mound of earth that is found in relatively close approximation of the cemetery would also need to be concerned that it contains a dead body inside of it. Says the Mishnah, Hatlulios, these mounds of earth, Hakrovos, Bein Lo'er, Bein La'derech, that are nearby the city or nearby a road that leads to a cemetery, Echot Chadoshos ve'Echot Yishonos, whether the mound of earth is new, it's apparent that it had been piled up pretty recently, or if it's old, Tomeos, one needs to be concerned that they are impure. There's possibly a dead body or the remains of a dead body inside of it. If these mounds of earth are far away from the city or from the road leading to the cemetery, if it's a mound that it can be seen that it was made pretty recently, then those mounds would be considered pure. Because since it's not near the city and not near a cemetery, there is no concern that a dead body or a dead fetus is buried inside of it. However, if the mound is very old, then they would be impure, because of the possibility that once upon a time they were close to a cemetery or close to the city. It's just that in the meantime, the city has moved or the cemetery is now used in a different place. One needs to be concerned that at the time it was near a cemetery or near a city, and one of the cases that we described occurred. Ezei Krova, what's considered to be near enough to a city or to the road leading towards the cemetery, Chamishim Amor, as long as it's within 50 amas of there, then we are concerned about those possibilities. There's no reason why the woman or the people on the way to bury the dead body would travel further than 50 amas away. The Shona, what's considered to be old enough that we need to start being concerned that possibly it was once near to a city. Shishim Shana, 60 years. Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's true that we don't need to be concerned for a distance further than 50 amas, but Kureva she'ein Kureva memena. One only needs to be concerned about the mound that is closest to the city or the road. But any other mound that is further away from there, there's no reason to think that they chose a further away mound to bury the body. And therefore, even if there are other mounds that are within 50 amas of the road towards the cemetery or within 50 amas of the city, one does not need to be concerned that a dead body was buried inside of there. The Shana, and Rabbi Yehuda adds that an additional condition in order for it to be considered old is She'ein Adam Zoichra, that there's nobody who remembers when exactly the mound was made. But if somebody remembers when the mound was made and he does not remember a city being near it or a cemetery being near it, then we can presume that indeed it was not near it because he remembers that the mound was made and he does not remember a city or a cemetery being near it. Mishnah Gimel, it's forbidden to move a Jewish person's body once he has been buried to a different burial location. However, if originally the body was buried there, not permanently, but with the intention that at a later date they'll move the body to an actual cemetery, and they are only burying him there temporarily, in that case it is permitted to move the body later on, because they only ever buried the body there temporarily with the explicit intention of later on moving it. That having been said, the mission is going to show that one who finds a dead body originally, that means that the dead body is not in an area that has already been known to be a cemetery. The dead body is found alone, and the person is buried in the way that Jewish people are generally buried, and therefore he's assumed to be Jewish. The way that they were buried is they were laid on their backs like a regular person who is buried, and their arms were folded over their chests. If that is the case, it's a sign that the person was Jewish, and therefore one needs to treat the body with respect, and he also is not able to move it if it was assumed to be buried permanently. But since this body was found by itself, not in an area of a cemetery at all, it's assumed that the person was buried there only temporarily, with the intention of later on moving the body towards a cemetery. And because of that, it is permitted to take that body and move it to a cemetery. But even when doing so, one is obligated to take the body together with the surrounding earth, which would possibly have absorbed some of the liquid which exudes from the body as it decomposes, any of that earth which is immediately associated with the body. Out of respect for the body, one is obligated to move that earth together with the body and bury it in its new location. Likewise, Motzah Shnayim, if he finds two bodies pretty nearby each other, he's allowed to take them and remove them to bury them in a cemetery, as long as he takes the earth, which is immediately around those bodies as well. Motzah Shalosha. But as soon as he finds three bodies that are near to each other, if the distance between the first and third body is anywhere between 4 and 8 amos, then we're going to miss out the next three words, kimlo mitov kovreha. Many delete these words from the Mishnah. Hari zosha chunas kavoros. This is a sign that this is a area which has been designated and was dug especially to bury bodies. They would usually bury bodies in a underground cave that was dug. There would be an area, sort of courtyard of 6 by 6 amos, and on either end of the courtyard would be a underground cave measuring 6 by 4 amos, and they would bury the bodies in the walls of these underground caves. So the total length of such a underground area would be 18 amos. And although the length of each of the caves where the actual bodies were buried was only 6 amos, it's possible that there is a space of roughly 8 amos in between one dead body and another, because it could be that it is diagonal on either corner of one of the underground caves. But yeah, as it may, if that is the distance in between the first and third dead body, then one needs to be concerned that he has found a underground burial area. And since the length of such a area would usually be 18 amos, made up of the middle courtyard and the two caves on either end, each of those areas being 6 amos long, and once again, the diagonal of such an area would be slightly longer than 18 amos. So Bodik Himenu Lahalon Esrim Amor, he is obligated to check anything within 20 amos of those dead bodies in order to
indeed establish this as a area of impurity. If he finds even just one dead body at the end of the 20 amos, he's obligated to check another 20 amos within the area of that other dead body, because now there's certainly a basis and a reason to think that this entire area has been designated as a cemetery. So it's true that if originally he would find that dead body, which he found by itself, then he would be able to take that dead body together with the surrounding earth and move it elsewhere. Because he does not need to assume that this is a permanent designated burial area. But being that he found this single dead body within 20 amos of three dead bodies, so he does need to be concerned that it was part of an entire burial complex, and therefore the person who was buried there assumingly was buried there permanently, which means that it is forbidden to move that dead body even if you take the surrounding earth with it. Because if the body was buried there with the intention of it remaining there, then it's forbidden to ever remove the dead body to another area. Mishadalad Habaydek, the person who is checking that 20 amas surrounding those dead bodies, Bodik Amor al Amor Umaniach Amor. He checks the first area of an Amor by an Amor. Now that does not refer to the nearest Amor of the dead body. There would always be at least an Amor of space left in between each body. But it means that after leaving one Amor of space, he would check the next Amor of earth to see if it has a dead body buried there. And then Umaniach Amor, he leaves the next Amor. There's no need to check the next Amor. But the next one he does check, Ad Shumagel HaSela Lebsulo, until he reaches either hard rock that it's impossible to dig and bury somebody in there, or to an area of earth that it's apparent that it's never been dug before. If he reaches an area like this, in which case it's clear that this is not part of a designated underground area that was dug to bury people. But if that's not in the middle of the 20 amos, then he needs to check until 20 amos, but he only needs to check every other amor. And he can still be certain that he would find any dead body by doing so. Now, a Kohen is forbidden to become Tommy from a dead body, and because of that, it would be forbidden for a Kohen to check this area for additional dead bodies, because he could very well become Tommy. But if he did so, then the Mishnah says that nevertheless, one who takes the earth out of this area that is possibly Tommy, if he is a Kohen, he is permitted to still eat Truma, which is the food that only a Kohen is allowed to eat, and he's only allowed to eat it in a state of purity. He is still able to eat Truma, and he can assume that he did not become Tomei. This is based on the principle called Chazaka, that if somebody has a status, we assume that that halachic status remains until proven otherwise. Since until now, the person had a Chazaka that he is pure, and it's unknown that he has become impure, and the area also is not known to be one in which people are buried, there's a possibility, there's a doubt, and therefore one needs to check. But until proven that indeed there are other dead bodies there, the Kohen can presume that he still remains pure. However, Mefaker Bagal, if a Kohen took away the stones from a pile of rubble which fell on top of a person and probably killed him, since the person underneath there is assumed to be dead, as soon as the Kohen starts to remove the stones, there's a very high chance that he was directly above the dead body. And because of that, he is no longer able to eat truma, and he's not able to rely on the chazaka that he hasn't had until now of his presumed status of being pure.